We are going to wait on news regarding the practice reps. We're not expecting anything from Russell Wilson. We haven't seen the reporter send out video yet. The practice report won't come out for another 2 hours. So we're just speculating at this point and going off of what Mike Tomlin said. Sometimes ESPN or these networks, they don't even really want to listen to or pay attention to what's said, and they just want to run with the story. Like yesterday, Ian Rappaport and others saying that Justin Fields has been named the starter for Sunday.
Which very irresponsible.
It's not at all what happened at the press conference. I actually thought what we heard from Greeny there was a good table setter conversation for today. He brings up, can Russell Wilson lose his job on Sunday? And then his opinion was, this is actually the best possible scenario for the Steelers. And then everyone on set with him seemed to chortle at that and laugh at that. But I actually do genuinely wonder from you guys, what's played out so far?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you would describe as a good thing or good problem? Like, is this actually a good situation?
No.
Greeny is painting it as the best possible scenario.
But he's a Jets fan. What would he know about good situations?
Okay, but is it good or bad what's happening right now?
I guess it's...
You're having a hard time with this.
Well, here's... just
you would have needed, you would have needed time on set. You would have needed him to give you a
pause. No, I wouldn't. No, absolutely not. Because when you're on TV, you got to have something right then and there. I can't answer your first question, is it good or bad? But I can say this. It's not as good as it would be if Justin Fields had come out there and the offense had looked like a well-oiled machine. It looked like, and I will go back to what I said Monday after the game, it looked like a lot of the starts Kenny Pickett had made for this team, with a couple notable differences. Fields is an infinitely better runner than Pickett ever was, and has a much more talented arm. And so you saw that manifest on the play at the end of the first half, a rifle shot throw, an OPI play that otherwise would have been a perfect ball down the sideline. And then you saw it manifest when the play broke down a little bit or when it was a little uncertain. Here's Justin Fields, instead of trying to get 4 yards and then run out of bounds, here's Fields turning a ball upfield, diving forward for 3 extra yards and being a weapon in that way. He didn't give you the kind of game, I'll use this as an example, Pony. When he came here with Chicago a couple years ago, and what was the final? 29-28, I think.
Missed field goal at the end. Cassius Marsh got flagged for a dance.
Right.
All that good stuff.
He looked awesome in that game.
He did.
If that guy had shown up in Atlanta, and they had even tailored a game plan that was going to allow that guy to show up, because they basically said middle of the field, off limits, pal, maybe I would come closer to agreeing with Mike Greenberg that this is a best-case scenario. But it's not right now. It feels like they are very much in limbo here. Purgatory.
So you can't say good or bad?
It's just okay? If you're in quarterback hell, quarterback heaven, or quarterback purgatory. Quarterback hell is the Giants with Danny Dimes. Quarterback hell is the Panthers with Bryce Young. Quarterback heaven is Mahomes or something like that. They are
CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud, thank you. Josh Allen, even. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl or anything except a Mulsey honorary Super Bowl. They are in where a lot of teams are, which is some version of quarterback purgatory. So no, I could not possibly say this is a best case scenario for them. No way.
I think it's more bad than good. And I say that as someone that over the last few days here has tried to stick up for the way Fields played and have tried to give him more credit than what the numbers suggest. And the number one thing people are going to look at is, okay, they didn't score any touchdowns. I thought he played a very good game, all things considered. The reason why I'm saying this is a bad situation is because one of the lottery tickets that you signed in the offseason isn't healthy enough to play right now. And so, yeah, we learned more about Justin Fields on Sunday, and I would say more positive than negatives with him, and a little bit more reason to think that he could transform his career or do a 180 with the Steelers. A little bit more reason to think that. Not enough to say they found their guy or anything nuts like that. But when you have two guys who have major questions about them, but in Fields' case has the potential, and in Wilson's case has the resume, you think, all right.
Hopefully one out of two.
We flip a coin twice. Maybe it...
We needed to come up heads one time.
Yes.
You've got more, you have more tickets for the lottery.
So the fact that we're already dealing with a man in his mid-30s who had an injury in camp that was described that as this is precautionary. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about
it. Don't want it to get into something
and
worse.
Now he's on the verge of missing the game that the dude has thought about for an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Mike. I don't understand. I can't go there. Best possible scenario. Like, sometimes you say things and you catch yourself afterwards like, man, that was really dumb. I can't believe I said that. That was a stretch. I didn't even deliberately try to offer up a hot take. It just rolled out of my mouth. And now that I'm reading it back or looking back at it, that was not an intelligent thing to say. And that's how I would look at this. One guy is already in this weird state where he doesn't have an injury that puts him on the IR and ends his season. But we have pretty good insiders around the team who are saying things like, oh man, this could be something that troubles Wilson all year and haunts him all year. That ain't good, Chris.
Well, what also isn't good about it is that's not good because it's, as you said, one of your tickets is now, you're like partially ripping it up, one of your two lottery tickets. The really ugly part of this for me, and people can say all they want, and to a degree it has to be true. You're trying to win football games. Teams deal with distractions all the time. Unhappy players play on good teams all the time. Like, I've seen A.J. Brown for good Eagles teams get pissed off at least in a game. Pickens, for a team that ended up in the playoffs last year, was ticked off, right? The problem with the Wilson injury is not just that it is happening. It's that he clearly doesn't think it's enough to keep him sidelined, on ice. The player himself wanted to play. The player himself, who is known for having a vast network around him of people to get his side of any story out there, it's one of the reasons a lot of former players don't really care for him, it seems.
Yeah.
The player has already tried to get his side of the story out there loudly.
You were someone who you've said multiple times over the course of the last few months that you think you thought Russell Wilson was going to have a good season with the Steelers. Correct?
Mm-hmm. I'm not. Yes, I know. I thought he was the better choice, and I thought he was going to be good enough. I'll very clearly state it. I said I thought he would be good enough all year to hold off Justin Fields.
And so I'm not doing this to try to make you offer up a mea culpa or say I'm an idiot or I'm wrong about anything.
You know I'm willing to do that at all times.
Sure, but I'm guessing right now you do not feel the same way about or as confident that Wilson is going to recover from this and put up impressive numbers.
No, I don't. But I feel like I don't have to apologize because I did assume the full health of Justin or of Russ Wilson when I said all that.
Right. So then it cannot be a good scenario.
Well, that's why I said that's why I said purgatory.
Yeah.
When you get brought up in the Catholic school system, they tell you purgatory is basically like hell, but you actually know you're getting out of there someday.
Donnie, does this feel like a good possible scenario? I understand what's best for the Steelers is Justin Fields becomes their starting quarterback, runs with it, and they have their problems solved, their riddles solved for a very long time. But do you feel like we are tracking in that direction after Sunday's game, where it makes up for the injury to Russell Wilson that might be an issue the entire season?
I mean, if it's just an injury to Russell Wilson and it's just a one-season thing and they could potentially have their answer for the next decade, that's an easy trade-off, a very easy trade-off. If you find a potentially franchise quarterback all because one guy you signed who you thought would be your starter got hurt, so
it's like Maddox getting hurt in Roethlisberger's rookie year. That becomes a footnote to the Roethlisberger story.
Or it's like Trey Lance sucking and Brock Purdy being found money.
It becomes a footnote.
So is that your way of saying you think that we're getting closer to that? Like you do have that confidence now, or you're starting to believe in Fields that way?
I have it a little bit more now, not necessarily because of the player. I mean, I think he's definitely a dynamic player, but it's a lot of untapped potential still. We know about the mobility being a huge X factor and game changer. He just has to become more all around a good player. But the fact that we're seeing him this early, due to injury or not, allows everybody to see and hope that we can get closer to that final goal.
So you don't think that this is a big, like, you don't think this is a bad situation then, or do you?
No, I don't think it is.
Am I right to say that overall then, because you said yesterday that you felt like there was no quarterback controversy because it's Fields' job. Am I right to then infer that you actually are pretty confident we're going to start seeing even better performances from Fields? Like, you are believing in the player more than you did maybe before Sunday's game?
I guess it was because it was the first time we could really see a player in a real game. It wasn't just the
You had to see him in stadium, just like Mike Tomlin.
Yes, you had to see him in that stadium-like environment. And that hostile environment.
And I often I often chide you for this when Pony's out, especially about how optimistic you are, but I think this is the optimism showing through. You saw a ball that should have been a 36-yard gain get overturned by a BS penalty, and then you saw him make a throw that how many Steelers quarterbacks have made since, like, Ben's heyday? Very few.
Zero.
Very few. Rudolph threw some nice balls. He didn't throw a 50-yarder or whatever it was on a line.
So that if you had to power rank every quarterback in the league, and once you got past like the first 20 or 25 guys and started to get into the area where you would consider Steelers quarterbacks, you would rank Justin Fields ahead of Russell Wilson?
At this current moment, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, even I would have to do that because Russ is not healthy.
Well, let me give you a hypothetical, which Tomlin hates. They're both healthy. Who do you rank ahead of the other?
I still think Russ is better.
Donnie?
I would say Russ, but again, with this being the possibility that, hey, we could find our guy to carry us into the future, there is really no future with Russell Wilson.
I don't agree with that entirely.
If he were to come back and play awesome, they would say, and he looked fully healthy, I don't agree with it either.
A lot of our listeners and callers and other hosts, I'm not just trying to cast aspersions on Donnie for this or try to call him out, but that seems to be something that gets thrown around a lot. And I think he's still young enough that if he had the same exact year as last year in Denver, 26 touchdowns and the Steelers win 10 games,
years.
I think he's their quarterback again next year.
Because other than the injury, which you'd then brush aside, you'd say he's not really a guy. He is not as young as he used to be as far as mobility, but he keeps himself in really good shape. I don't think the door is closed on him, but I think I'm going to be vindicated in the end about all of this. Because I think my base level take is correct. He is much more hurt and much further from 100% than he or anyone else is letting
on. That's why Greeny's wrong. This is not the best possible scenario because if I'm like going stock up, stock down on both quarterbacks, the stock is incrementally up for me on Fields, but the stock is way, way down for me on Wilson. Because like you, is he ever going to be healthy enough this season to really show us what he's capable of?
It might not be till their bye week. That's how these calf injuries end up going, Pony, and it's not his first one. It's a re-aggravation.
Yep. Yeah, look at the Christian McCaffrey thing now. What are they saying about him? That Shanahan's saying it's something that they're going to have to basically monitor the entire season?
Burrow didn't come back from his really healthy until how many weeks into the season?
No, Burrow looked bad for about the first month of the season last year.
Almost 6 weeks even.
Yep.
So I'm sorry. Even if Russ is going to get healthier quicker because he wouldn't be playing like Burrow was, you don't know how.
Fan Outline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for 50 years. We do have breaking news. The Pirates have not had a Pirates pitcher hurl a no-hitter in the history of PNC Park. Their last one was the combined Cordova-Rincon in 97. The last Pirates pitcher to throw a no-hitter on his own was John Candelaria in 1976. And we are in the seventh inning. And Bailey Falter right now is 8 outs away. So there's a runner on here.
Not a perfect game.
It was his fourth walk. Never mind.
Unbelievable.
We're just going to go to it, and I jinxed it. He gave up a hit.
Unbelievable.
Donnie, let us know what happened here. Was it a single? Was it just a...
Just a single, and then the runner that's currently at first gets thrown out at third.
All right. Never mind. We don't have to go to that then.
But I'll tell you what. For people who have Bailey Falter's ERA and Bucko Auction House, these 6-plus shutout innings, very needed right now. Very needed. Great start by Falter.
So that drought will continue.
You are
for the Pirates.
You are an historic jinx. You really are.
The mere mention of it ruined it. Sorry, Bailey.
Quickly, 10 seconds behind the scenes, Donnie's feed in his studio is way ahead of our TV feed.
There it
feed.
Is. Bloop into left field.
Pony has no idea that this is happening as he's talking about it.
Boom, it happens.
You are the most powerful man in Pittsburgh sports.
Let's get Maddie and Newcastle in here on the Steelers quarterback situation. Hello, Maddie.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I called it back in March, man. I remember talking to you guys back then, saying that I felt like Russ was going to be a mistake and that we needed to focus on the future. Hopefully Justin Fields is that. Can only pray. But I know the risk was greater than the reward, bringing him in less than $3 million, but looking like it's not going to pan out very well
for us. That doesn't answer the question, though. Like, do you think the Steelers are in a good spot at quarterback right now?
With Justin Fields over Russ?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so, actually. I feel like he has a lot of weapons, great arm.
Wait, a lot of weapons? He's got one proven receiver.
I'm not talking about receivers. I'm talking about tools.
He's talking about his own.
Oh, his own weapons. If he was a five-tool player in baseball,
His own human weapons.
Gotcha, yes.
His arm, his legs, things of that nature.
He's like a 4.5, hopefully. Maybe we can get him to a 5. Who knows? But, I noticed one thing about Justin I'm noticing. I'm not seeing him really read the defense too much. I might be not.
That's been the rub against him for his entire NFL career.
He makes up his mind before the snap where the ball is going to go, and if it's not there, he just takes off and runs or takes a sack.
He's got the longest time to throw in the NFL last year. He was
Wilson
waiting
was second.
3.2 seconds. He was way ahead of even Wilson in that regard. So that actually tells me, Pony, he might be making up his mind as to where he's going to go, but like, if he doesn't make up his mind and he sits back there and does try to scan, nothing comes of it.
Unless Fields is wildly successful here, I wanted to see Wilson either succeed or fail before we went to this option. Guys like Matty apparently were so down on Russell Wilson to begin with that they thought that part of this equation was a complete waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Why even mess around with Russell Wilson? You already know what he is. He stunk in Denver. His last year in Seattle wasn't great. He's old.
He didn't stink in Denver.
I know, but there's a percentage of Steelers fans who do feel that way.
I know.
Here's Greg next on the Fan. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, I got my theory about the quarterback controversy here.
Sure.
I don't think Tomlin's going to start Russell. If he goes into Denver and starts and has a crappy game and Tomlin starts getting heckled by the fans, Denver fans, I think that's going to be a big blow to his ego.
Because he's never gone to like New England or Cleveland or Baltimore or Cincinnati and had those fans like give him a hard time when he's lost there?
But we're getting their quarterback. We signed their quarterback. And there's a reason why he left.
But you don't think Tomlin is such a big ego that he'd like nothing more than to beat Sean Payton with the quarterback that he gave up on?
Well, do you think his ego would handle the crowd heckling, saying, we told you,
Mike Tomlin gets dragged through the mud by his home fans
like
every single week.
Craig, I also think his ego is such that he would think more of the positive end of that winning than he would lose it.
He would think of him, here's how he would think of it, Greg. He'd go, I can't wait to shake Sean Payton's hand after we beat them. And think, we did this with the quarterback that you paid $85 million to go somewhere else.
Yep.
That's as big of a flex as you could possibly get. I'm sorry I'm reeling from this. You mushed the Falter no-hitter as it was happening. I cannot fathom that.
I mean, we had to...
No, you were doing the right thing.
It was history in the making. I was about to let people listen into potentially a historic moment, and it just didn't happen.
It's incredible. I mean, you really are history's greatest mush.
I said Paul Skeens was going to be the greatest pitcher of all time. That seems to be smooth sailing. We made eye contact at the Arizona game, and I think that gave him a little bump.
Didn't they end up losing that game?
They did, yes, but that was Derek Shelton's fault. And Colin Holderman's.
Oh, you could say that about a lot of games, but I'll tell you what. I don't want Bailey Falter to finish out this one hitter. Donnie, it would be great to see Aroldis Chapman come in there and just fire off a 1-2-3 for a 3-0 win and a save, wouldn't it?
We're not the cardiac kids out there. We've got to start faster for sure. We've got to make plays on both sides of the football. We can't wait till the fourth quarter. And if you think you're going to wait till the fourth quarter, it's been 53 years since we had a 21-point comeback. I can't tell you it'll be another 53 years, but it's not going to be the next comeback 7 days later. It's just not going to happen. If it hadn't happened in 53 years, you can't expect to go out there and slop around in the first half and expect to win football games.
Pat Narduzzi cannot slop around against West Virginia and win the backyard brawl Saturday night. That was Pat on the ACC Network. You can hear him on The Fan tonight at 6 o'clock for his weekly show. Don't want to slop around.
I like that term, actually, by Pat. I think I actually used it to describe how they played.
Anybody here at the station who, when you think of slop around, they pop into your head? Anybody here slop around?
Who just... I feel like you're setting me up.
I'll answer, Callis.
Thank you.
I sat next to him at our meeting today. He just had garbage in his pockets. Like, I started pulling it out.
Like refuse?
Yeah, he had like crumpled up pieces of paper, a banana peel.
A banana peel?
Some wrappers.
What is he, composting from, like, in his pants? Candy.
And his phone. His phone was in the same pocket.
As a banana
as
peel?
Crumpled up paper, a banana peel, and candy wrappers. So,
Dallas, what are you doing?
I like Harry, but I mean, I think that is that not...
It's odd.
That's a slop around move.
It makes me think of the very infamous viral tweet where somebody says they got crossed up at a pickup basketball game by a guy who then had a smashed McDouble burger fall out of his pocket. The guy was also wearing work boots
Callis
and cargo shorts.
Callis plays in those producer pickup games. Donnie, when are you going to get into one of those? Have you been invited to play?
I have been invited, so I'm going to give those guys credit there. It's not like they completely leave me out of the lurch.
So you just big time them?
No, I mean, it's not that, just that the schedule doesn't really allow it.
You just have more important things to do. I get it. I told them the same thing.
I told them I don't even... My knee feels fine. Like,
don't
I do
risk it, though.
Well, I play toss golf.
A big brace on,
I,
maybe.
I play golf in a way, and I swing the club in a way that obviously my knee has to twist and torque a little bit. But, like, for whatever reason, and this is what I've said, I have such a new appreciation of guys who get right back out there after a knee injury, like the next year, or even an Achilles. It's just mentally tough to say I can go full speed like I could 5-6 years ago. Cut, stop, do all that stuff.
I haven't watched any of the crappy games that they've put on CBS now that they lost the SEC. It was Ohio State Akron, and then last week it was the Iowa State game. Do they still use this theme, or have they retired this one?
Because they feel like it's
done?
Too majestic.
I think it's mostly the same, but it's not quite the same, if you get what I'm saying.
So
it's
they
like,
made it worse.
It's almost like, hey, can I copy your homework and just get a couple of questions
So
wrong?
Is it like the Stone Cold theme when they made it more Disturbed-y and not like... Not like the original. Not that glass just shatters and boom.
Yeah, I would say something like that.
West Virginia down to a 1.5-point favorite in this game. Pitt does not have an athletic director currently for the backyard brawl, while their volleyball team has reached number one for the first time in its program's history. Congratulations on all their success. Are you allowed to mention the athletic director scuttlebutt that you have on the air without... outing the person who gave you the information?
I can definitely say just somebody I talk to who I know is plugged in more than your average Pitt fan. I would call them just a fan, an ardent, avid fan of the program.
How about a booster? Do they reach the booster status?
I don't think they reach booster status, but they've been right about these things before. Is that a fair way to describe them?
So they are...
They might. I think they probably give money to the school, but they're not writing checks with multiple
commas.
So they're a Pitt
mole?
A bit of a pit mole. Remember the Pitt Smythe guy, the Pitt Smith guy?
Is that who this is?
No, it's not him.
Okay.
No, but somebody I know who's been right about this stuff before, right about scuttlebutt, thinks that there's a pretty good chance, I would call it, or this person put it at, like, they are more than 50-50, that the new AD would be Marcus Bowman, who I think is he at UNLV now?
He was, and then he went to Oklahoma CFO.
I got it reversed. I thought he went Oklahoma to UNLV.
He is
for
a former basketball walk-on
right.
With the Ben Howland and Jamie Dixon teams.
Yeah, so this person told me they feel
Julius
like it's...
Julius Page and your...
Brandon Knight.
Jerron Brown and Brandon Knight and...
Jerron Brown. Very long arms, Donnie. He was 6'4 in the program. He had a 6'9, 6'10 wingspan. You want to talk about a guy created in a lab to harass college shooting guards and small forwards?
Yes.
It's Jerron Brown.
That, and I've heard the same thing about Bowman. And so he would check boxes. He comes from an SEC school. He's like not the second in command, I don't think, there.
Yes,
he's...
Oklahoma and SEC. I know it is an SEC school. But Oklahoma is not an SEC school in my brain.
My personal preference would be to take an athletic director from a group of five school and give them a bigger job, or hire someone from one of like the absolute best athletic departments in America,
mm-hmm.
who's a number two and young and gets it. So no offense to Marcus, but that would be the kind of profile I'd be looking for. Not that he's that far off. I mean, he's at Oklahoma and he has a pretty big job there.
Yeah. He's been a riser through the ranks.
Yes, and
in general, he
knows Pittsburgh and he knows their programs and stuff. So
well,
that
last part's the key though, Pony. I think they need to with this hire. It's a weird balance you want to strike here. Somebody who is really innately connected to that community and that booster community, who knows Pitt and kind of understands sort of the challenges of making Pitt into whatever Pitt wants to be or thinks it can be. But you don't want to just settle either for somebody like that, too, who's like too close to the program, right? That's how I would look at it. I think
Marcus
it's
Bowman
weird.
Did not make the Post-Gazette's list of potential Pitt athletic directors.
Who did?
Lewis Riddick.
Would Lewis want that job?
Lewis is scheduled to join us on Friday, so we can ask him.
I felt like Lewis always had his eyes still on a GM job in the NFL.
The Steelers job, but they picked Omar over him.
I know, but I think Lewis would take a GM job, period.
Pat Bostic,
ardently
listed by the Post-Gazette, and in the write-up they say he has the endorsement of Doran Dickerson. He comes with Doran's clout and weight.
Wait, is that the video Doran posted?
No, maybe, but the article
just says it.
Publicly supported by Doran Dickerson.
Doran posted something from his deck where he's smoking a cigar and wearing a Pitt hockey jersey, but I didn't click all the way through to the end to see what he was saying.
That's your way of saying you didn't watch any of it.
I watched the very beginning and then I did turn it off.
Was that bad? Was that boring?
Didn't Pat Bostic secure the largest gift in Pitt history?
I think that's that Bicknell guy that has his name on the...
Chris Bickle.
Who has his name on...
That's why Pat Narduzzi is the Chris Bickle...
The head coach's contract,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Doug Whaley.
Friend of the show.
I think Doug makes sense in that he comes from pro sports, and more this is looking like pro sports.
An AD is going to have a GM get hired.
Chris LaSalla, who has been in their athletic department for a very long time, and Darrell Rivas said, give it to LaSalla, and I think Dave Wanstead tweeted out, I'd second that.
Now, can you guys imagine Wani just saying it, though?
You guys like LaSalla because he said the biggest sporting event he ever attended was not 13-9, but was when Undertaker threw Mankind off the top of the ring.
Huge pop for that.
At Mellon Arena.
By the way, can I just... It's Darrell Rivas with two R's. The copy editor in me came out when I read that and got it.
Dave Harper, who is the AD at Duquesne.
Mm-hmm.
He has good business relationships here. They renovated the Palumbo and made it into a state-of-the-art facility, so
yep.
That kind of makes sense.
Yep.
And then Chris King, who is a really cool guy, but is that Robert Morris? And no offense to Chris, but it's not like
it's
their athletic
jump.
Programs have also like been amazing lately.
Well, it's also just a massive jump in terms of scale,
so.
Like what you're dealing with. I felt like those last two inclusions are sort of what everybody around here says. The one name I'm surprised I didn't hear on the list, Chirpak.
Hmm. Donnie, you talked to Chirpak last week. Did he mention anything about the Pitt athletic director vacancy?
No, I mean, he was singularly focused on the game that was in front of him.
I know he had strong opinions on things like long snapping and guard play.
Interior line play was a big concern heading into the McKeesport game.
I was almost fearful to talk to him coming out of halftime because at the time...
They were getting their butts kicked.
TJ was down 3 touchdowns and then...
Did you talk to him coming out of the half?
Yeah, normally it's losing coach coming out of the half.
Oh, God, and what did he... I missed it, I'm sorry.
No, he was fine.
He likes you because it's kindred spirits,
Yeah, he just sees you, and he's like, I see a guy who could be Bill Chirpak in 15 years.